28, please. Matthew 28. My good friend Mike Hall told me this morning we have a lot to do, so I'm going to have to speak fast. Is that what you said? No, you're going to have to speak short. So you notice that it is almost 11:45, and it would be a miracle if I could preach less than 45 minutes. So let's stand, and we'll read together a passage of Scripture. We're going to read, and it's a familiar passage, at least what I'm going to preach on. I've decided just to kind of step outside of Mark for today at least. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1, it says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy." That's an interesting combination. You're scared to death and you're happy at the same time. By the way, real emotions don't fit into boxes. You know how you know if someone's telling you the truth? A lot of times their emotions don't fit what they're talking about. This sounds like you're ecstatic, Jesus is risen, and you're afraid, of course. It says, "And he did run to bring this disciples' word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." Verse 16. "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee and into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations." Another way of translating that would be make disciples of all nations. It is the Greek word for the initial preaching and teaching of the gospel and making disciples. So go you therefore and make disciples or teach all nations. The gospel is the idea. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So I'm going to speak this morning on the four alls. All power is given unto me, Jesus said. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And then in verse 20, he talks about teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, and I'm just going to say always because always is too hard for a modern English ear, always, even unto the end of the world. So we're going to look at these four alls in this passage, all power, all nations, all things, all the teachings of Jesus, and always. I've entitled this All for All. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we have the privilege of coming here this morning. It is a holiday weekend in our nation, but undoubtedly we that are here came here to hear your word, and I would ask this morning that I would be able to maybe encourage and really just say the things that Jesus said at the most discouraging time and the most confusing time, in a time filled with all kinds of conflicting feelings, emotions, and thoughts. Until they finally sorted out in their mind what had happened. Help me to be able to clearly proclaim this passage and for your people to be helped. For those that might not know you, May they come to know you this day, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Noel and Romeo have known each other since 1983. Well, Romeo, I have a guy that's a friend of mine that I've known a couple years longer, but he wasn't my friend at the first. I met him, I believe, in the very early part of 1977, while I was at George Washington, going through school in the Navy, and he moved into my barracks. I've told the story many times, but I want to add a layer because this morning we're going someplace and we might as well just address the elephant, so to speak. His name was Vic Borden. I've told the story in this church many times and I'll tell it again. Vic, when he moved into my barracks room, was also going to some shorter school that the Navy offered, I think it was called, operating room technician or something. He went to school, and Vic hated everything I did. So young people, please look at me. When you tell me you have such deep problems, may I tell you this? Been there, done that, got several T-shirts. So, you know, you're not going to have any kind of problem that normal Christians haven't had. The difference is maybe your parents weren't Christians at that time. I was. Vic was a typical God-hating, beer-drinking, dope-smoking guy. I've told the story many times. I'm not even going to tell you his salvation. He got saved. After a short time, Vic left and went to South Carolina to be stationed at Parris Island with the Marines. I had a long time more in school, and I finally graduated. I came here, worked at the Naval Hospital, worked part-time down at Lake Forest Hospital for a while. We kept touch with each other. When I got married, Jenny and I went down and saw he and his wife. And we stayed in touch maybe twice a year because there was no Facebook. And in my life, there's still no Facebook someday. We stayed in touch once or twice a year. He would call me. Maybe I'd call him another time. Vic eventually went into the ministry. He got his first degree in chemistry. Daniel, wherever Daniel went. A pastor has a degree in chemistry. Isn't that amazing? He got his degree in chemistry. Then he went to seminary, got his degree there, and he pastored a church. Don't hold me on this. I think it was in Joplin, Missouri, but I cannot remember. And then one day he called me, and he said, "Ralph, I'm resigning my church." That morning, his dad, and I had flown from D.C. to Kansas City, Missouri to witness to his father, Vic and I had, and his dad wanted to have nothing to do with us. We flew out there, but in this two or three interim years, his father had gotten saved, his stepmother had gotten saved, and they had four children. So it was mom, stepmom, dad, and four children. And the dad had gotten saved, stepmom gotten saved, some of the kids were old enough to get saved. He said, "This morning, my dad was driving three of the children to the Christian school. And at 8 or so in the morning, a guy that had been out drinking all night." Now, I'm going to say this. I don't care if you like it or not. I hate alcohol. I hate alcohol. And if you are a fool to think you can drink, you are a double fool. Vic said, "As my dad was taking my stepbrothers and sisters, I don't know what they were, to school, a guy that had been out drinking all night hid them head on, killed my dad and all three of them. And you think you got problems." A couple months ago, most of you know, I went out to Kansas City. I had two purposes. The one purpose, I hadn't seen Vic only one or two times since 1977. We'd seen each other two or three times for 3 minutes at a time. When I went to Kansas City, I went there to drop off our books that go to Kenya for the mission, the pastors, and I wanted to see Vic Borden because, Tim, you're the fault of this. And Jim, I got him confused. You were the first one out there. You went to visit his church and found out 4 or 5 years ago, 6 years ago that his wife started suffering symptoms of a unique kind of dementia. She was 55. It is unique that you only get it from age 55 to 60. You don't get it any other time. You get it in the frontal lobe. It lasts 3 to 5 years, and you die. When you went there, I think, wasn't it you, Tim? You found out she was starting to suffer. I called the church. Vic wasn't there. Talked to the secretary, and they said she'd come to church. She'd forget where she was at. She couldn't find her key. She didn't know Vic's name. And then Jim went there, and was she already dead or almost? She was dead when Jim went there. She had just died. By the way, my friend Vic Borden kept his wife. You know the one that lost his dad and 3 kids to a drunk? He kept his wife in his house for almost 5 years. He said the hardest thing wasn't taking care of her. He says the hardest thing was she didn't know who I was. For almost 5 years, she stayed in the house, and she weighed 50 pounds when she died. Now, you look at me in the eyes. Friend, hey. Why is it that Christians think we're just going to get on this ride and everything's going to be perfect? The believers are at a place, they're all confused. They've just seen Jesus crucified and they're like, what's going on? What I want you to do with me this morning is enter into the story of the four alls. So when you leave here, you'll know when Jesus said all, he was trying to tell us something. Okay, look with me, would you? Verse, if you would, look at verse 18. The first all. The first thing that Jesus says to them. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. Now, this is not talking about muscles. This is talking about all authority is given unto me in heaven and upon the earth. So number one, friend, if we're going to enter into this story, we start drawing this conclusion. All power in Christ. When you and I look out at the world, we must begin by recognizing in Christ we have all power and authority. At this time when the disciples don't know what's going on, they have, through Christ, all power or authority. Let me refresh us. Jesus had been arrested. He had been tried by the Sanhedrin, the Jewish, it was a kangaroo kind of court, by Pilate, by Herod Antipas. He was tossed back and forth. He had been mocked. He had been beaten. He had been brutalized. Jesus was then crucified. The point being to, please hear me, I've said this so many times, don't get into this Catholic idea that Jesus suffered physically more than other people. Romans had lots of ways of making you suffer. This was the act of humiliation because they tore your clothes off. They put you on a cross to humiliate you. And they had seen Jesus humiliated. Now, of course, here's the problem. You know the rest of the story, yes? Let me ask you a question. Do you know the rest of the story of your life? Answer the question. No, you don't. Now you're into the story. See, the moment you drop religion and the moment you put yourself here, then you realize they didn't know what was going to happen. Well, you said they should have known. Yes, they should have. He told them. He told them it 3 big times and 3 or 4 other times. They were kind of slow. Slow on the uptake. Jesus was arrested, tried, mocked, beaten, brutalized, crucified, publicly humiliated. Finally, he was buried. And if you remember, at that time, it was pitch black. It was a period of darkness, both physically and emotionally. The darkness of the hour came over them. And I'm sure it says in the Bible and other places, they all went back to what they were doing. They thought it was over. And all of a sudden, they hear that Jesus has risen again. And my friend, when he rose again, what is the one thing? Jenny, I don't know if you saw this. When we went to Don Scouten's funeral, his His mother was seated over here. Did you hear what his mother was saying? Hey, look at me. Don Scowden's mother was poor white trash from the Boot Hill of Missouri, an unsaved person. She kept saying, she's looking at her saved son in a casket. She kept saying, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. She should have been afraid. But her fear didn't drive her to Jesus. Her fear drives her right back to her third or fourth. By the way, she's 75 years old with a boyfriend. After four or five or six or seven husbands. She said, I am afraid over and over and over. Here's the disciples. If you have your Bible, look with me to Ephesians chapter 1. My friend, Jesus steps into the middle of this. And he says, hey, all power is given in me in heaven and in earth. You have what you need. You have more than you need. All power in Christ. So when we don't know the rest of our story, by the way, I'm 59 years old. I know what's going to happen somewhere down the road. Somewhere down the road, this old body's not going to work anymore. And I'm going to get older than I am. I'm going to die probably unless the rapture occurs. And I'm going to be with the Lord. I got the ultimate part. But what about between now and then? Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. When the Jesus rose from the dead, he wants you to know. Paul wants you to know what that means. Verse 19 of chapter 1 of Ephesians. Paul wanted the believers there and us to know this. What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15, 55, would you please? 15, 55. Yes, friend, in this world, I don't know how your story's going to turn out. When I talked to Vic Borden back in the early 1977 about the Lord and about being saved, I didn't think he would ever get saved, but I could have never predicted from 1977 to 2016, 39 years, that he would have lost his dad but to a drunk driver, three of his stepbrothers and or sisters, I'm not sure what they were young, and he would have lost his wife to dementia and Lou Gehrig's disease. Wait a minute. What are you facing tomorrow with? Are you facing tomorrow hoping Social Security, the Ponzi scheme, is going to last? Hey, let me ask you, let's take a breath. Let's ask another question. How in the state of Illinois are the insurance companies doing? Do you realize we're on the verge of economic collapse in many parts of this country because of our Ponzi schemes and our foolishness? And you say, man, hey, I got a pension from a company. Talk to my dad about that pension. See how that worked when the company closes. You say, well, mine's backed up by the... Oh, that makes me feel good. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. O death, verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? By the way, do you realize that every single person, with the exception of about two, and they were super unique, every single person, I'm pretty sure death and the grave has been victorious over them? He says in verse 56, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. My friend, when you look out there at life, and you can read the Bible, you can go back and you can understand the apostles and the early believers, but you got to take this truth that Jesus comes and says, listen, all power is found in me. Whatever you face out there, it's all in me. So wherever you go, you have within you, within Christ, the power of the resurrection to face it. Even death is not victorious over you. Because the moment, we'll get to the end of the sermon, the moment your eyes close on earth, your eyes open and you're in the Lord's presence, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Yes. You say, Pastor Warren, now I'm going to speak to everybody. Listen, Pastor Warren, you don't know what I'm facing. And you are correct because you don't know what you're facing. I know everybody would like to read their horoscope and find out what's going to happen. Do you really want to know what's going to happen? Oh my goodness. I don't know what you're going to face because you don't know what you're going to face. But my friend, the Lord knows what you're going to face. And He has already been victorious over your worst fears and your greatest enemies. So if He has already been victorious over the worst enemies you have and the greatest fears you have, listen, my wife has a mother, not perfect, but she's a believer. She's 90 years old. I haven't heard my wife saying, oh my goodness. Now, I think she would like her mother to be feel good. I think she would like her mother to be as healthy as possible at age 90. I think she would like her mother one day just to close her eyes and wake up in heaven. Is there a guarantee of that? But my friend, the worst enemies you have and the greatest fears you have, the Lord Jesus has already died, been buried, your worst fears, and rose again. Death, the grave, Satan, and hell has no hold on the believer. In Christ, there is all power, and the same power that brought Him back from death will do the same for you, friend. So the worst thing that could happen to you, He's already been there, already won that victory. So as we look forward, we can truly say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You say, but Pastor Warren, but nothing. Whatever you have faced, others have faced too. You face it in His almighty power. That's not all the text has to say. Look back with me, if you would, Matthew 28 and verse 19. Matthew 28, verse 19. We'll read that verse when you get there, if you can find it. I like the Olympics. Not everybody did. I didn't like the coverage of the Olympics. We were fixated on certain portions of the Olympics. We won a ton of gold medals that got a total of about 3 seconds of coverage. Would you know that in the Olympics, an American woman won the shot put, the gold medal? Would you know that in the Olympics, an American man and another American man won gold and silver in the shot put? They didn't show that. I guess it wasn't interesting enough to them. May I say this? When I was watching them do the shot put, have you ever done the shot put? You know, you think you can throw that thing a long way. You put it in your hand, you know, you see those guys go. I tried spinning one time and all I did was fall down. And then you see this monster guy spinning around like he looks like he's practiced ballet and he weighs about 350. But you know what? When I saw that thing go, I saw that one guy throw that thing and I think he got an Olympic record. It was like, you think, wouldn't you like a guy that strong on your side? I have someone that has a little more power than that on my side, friend. I don't think there's anything out there that we're going to face that he cannot overcome. But let's not stay there. Let's look at the second all quickly. In verse 19, the Bible says, go ye therefore. You know, the same you that has just recognized that in Him dwells all power. all power in Christ, he wants to take this a second level. Jesus wants to narrow this down. He wants us to know that he has authority and power. He is omnipotent. So whatever we face in his strength alone. But he wants to take it farther than that. Go you therefore and teach, make disciples, share the gospel so they get saved. Whom? All what? Ta ethne, the ethnic groups, every single ethnic group. The second all is this, all nations for Christ. He wants us to do this. He doesn't want Ralph Warren to get fixated on Ralph Warren. So Ralph Warren thinks the purpose of the power of God is that I never have a problem. No. He wants us to know that yes, when he rose from the dead, he has all power. So whatever we face it in his power, the power of the resurrection, and that we can be guaranteed a place with him because of Christ, what he did on the cross, yes. But he also wants us to know it's not only all power in Christ, it's all nations for Christ. Take this power that he has and share this good news with all ethnic groups. You see, it's not primarily about our success or our pursuits or our comfort. It's about our salvation and the gospel going to every nation. And nation is okay, but please hear me. In the ancient world, they didn't think nation like we do, like America. They thought groupings of people, ethnic groups. The Greek word is ethne, ethnic. So they thought all the little groups that make up what we call a modern nation state, we're to go to all of them. So read the text with me again. We're to first of all go. Who's to go? Who is to go? Us. Yes. And we're after we do that, we are to what? Teach the gospel. Make disciples. After we do that, we are to baptize them. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Obviously, forming local churches like we have. But specifically, we are to go to each and every ethnic group. I want to ask everyone a question. Troy Manning, our missionary, Bibles International, correct? He's a short guy. When Troy was here, was it 2 months ago, 3 months ago? He told my wife and I, they were going to do for the first time in the history, there is a language group, I can't tell you where. Did you get his prayer letter recently? His prayer letter says it's in Eurasia. Jenny, do you remember the amount of people he said speak this language? Do you remember? It was 20 to 30 million people speak this language. Now this place, by the way, the reason I'm bringing this up, do you realize we have, I'll wait till those who are asleep wake up. We have people taking this seriously. I got a letter from him. Many of you got the same email, two of them, I think. And he says, we're now in Eurasia. By the way, Eurasia is, what do you call that? That's not where he's at. He's in a part of the world, I wrote this down, that is politically unstable, religiously dangerous, meaning they will kill you, and economically depressed. You say, why would he and his lovely wife be there? Because the Bible says the power that God gives us and how God changes us and how God gives us hope, and he gives us hope through the resurrection. We're not to put this, look at me, in our back pocket and feel good about ourselves. We're to go into all the world and share the good news so people like Don Scowden's mother don't have to be on the front row. She doesn't have to be on the front row. I'm afraid. She needs to hear the gospel. By the way, and there's people still in this world. There was, I think he said 25 or 26 million people speak a language that has never had any translation work. So they cannot even hear the Bible, John 3:16, in their language. You say, why? Because if you go to that country, they kill you. He's nearby, translating the Bible. Why? Because all power in Christ, the second part of this becomes for all nations for Christ. You take the gospel to people. Of course. I'll tell this and make it short. 1960, my family moved from a very, very small town in southern Illinois near St. Louis on the Illinois side to the farm. In 1960, my mother did not drive. A lot of women didn't drive back in the 50s and 60s. Mom didn't know how to drive. When we got out to the farm, how do you go to church? A man from that church drove an old white school bus, and this would have been 1960, so the bus would have probably been from the 50s or 40s. Think about that. He drove a school bus. Are you listening? 9 miles one way to pick up one family, the Warrens. Mom, Rita, Bill, Ralph, and Shirley, which was a baby. He picked us up on a school bus, 1/2 hour out, 9 miles in the country, 1/2 hour back, stayed at Sunday school and church, took us back 30 minutes, 9 miles, and then drove the bus back for 2 hours every Sunday. He picked up the Warren family so the Warren kids could hear the gospel. I want to ask you a question. When's the last time you've given up 30 seconds of your life to talk to anybody about Christ? Don't come up to me quoting Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, which means I can finally lose weight. Do you think Jesus gave you the power of God in your life and the power of the resurrection so you could talk about your weight? Or maybe he gave you the power of the resurrection so you could talk about the Lord and the gospel and the good news and how that a person, even in this room, can come to know Jesus Christ and know that he died for them, that he gave his life for them on the cross, that he paid for their sins. Hey, wait a minute. Take a breath. That he did something else. It's not just guilt. He also removed the shame that people suffer from their whole life, and that you could have a relationship with God through his Son. My friend, it's all power in Christ. Therefore, it's all nations for Christ. We can go to any corner of the globe and share the good news. Anybody, any place, any language, any ethnicity, that's what God has called us to do. You say, why? Please look at me. I don't want any. Now, there are people in this room that are undoubtedly unsaved, and you've been around here a long time just playing games. But there's several in this room this morning. If you put your head on the pillow tonight and you start thinking about eternity, you're probably going to think, I don't know where I'm going. Hear me. Jesus died for you. You're the one that he's looking for this morning. He doesn't want you to have this fear on your shoulders, this guilt. He doesn't want you, listen, he doesn't want you to walk into a room and have that feeling of shame that maybe somebody will know me, and if they know me, then I will feel the shame. He wants to rid you of all the guilt, shame, sin. He wants to claim you for his own. He wants to give you a home in heaven. He wants to make you his child. Hear me. I believe in the power of God in my life. I've seen what God can do in people's lives. But my friend, he does it so you and I then can be all nations for Christ. Every group, wherever you're from. You say, nobody knows where I'm from. Yes, yeah, somebody does. You say, nobody's ever been where I'm from. Oh, I'm pretty sure the Lord knows. Jesus paid for your sins, friend, bore your guilt, suffered your shame on the cross. Look back at Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20. I'm just going to touch on this because I am going to be done early. All power in Christ. All power is given unto me, verse 18, in heaven and earth. All nations for Christ. That's verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Thirdly, it's all teaching from Christ. We have a job to do teaching them that get saved, that get baptized, that become members of our church and churches like us, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I'll just pass on this by saying this is the reason we have Sunday school. This is the reason we have a WANA program. This is the reason we have Bible studies. All of this is trying to take this all to the third level. Not only having all authority in Christ and all nations for Christ, but all the teaching from Christ. We want to share that with our people and all that we can influence. We go to the end. And Jesus concludes by saying this, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Lo, behold, I am with you. How long? So it's all authority in Christ, all power in Christ. It's all nations for Christ. It's all teachings from Christ that we learn and share. Lastly, it's always present with Christ. He is always with us. Isaiah 41:10 says this, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Turn your Bibles to one last reference, 2 Corinthians 5. Would you look there, please? 2 Corinthians 5. All power in Christ, friend. A defeated Christian is an oxymoron. How could you be a defeated Christian with the power of the resurrection working in your life? All nations for Christ. Every ethnic group, every people group, every language group. All teachings from Christ. That's what we want to know, teach, and share. Why? When it all said and done, because Christ is always present with Christ. Always present with Christ. Now, everybody find 2 Corinthians 5? Now, I'm going to say this, and I mean this to be emotional. As a boy, maybe all boys are this way. Maybe some boys are this way. This boy was this way. I grew up with a dad that, for me, was larger than life. World War II veteran, Korean War veteran. Big guy, strong. I can still remember those 5 gallon, is it 5 or 10 gallon? Forgive me, there's those big metal, they used to put milk in them. They're 10 gallon, Tim. And I remember when I got bigger and my brother was 4 years older, he wasn't a lot bigger than me, the two of us would roll that thing full of milk or water, and two of us together would pick it up and put hands underneath, and we could put that thing up in the truck. My dad would pick up one in each hand and just set those in the truck. He did that to show off us, I'm sure, but may I say something? Dad was larger than life. But there comes a time when Dad's not larger than life. I remember the day he died. We were with him the day before, watching him try to eat. Look at me. The day he died, I've told this story. The whole family was there, and they said, we need somebody to help carry your dad out. Well, I always got every job nobody wanted. I don't know where I got that job from. I didn't sign up for that job. But anytime there's anything bad to do, I get the job. They said, somebody needs to help us carry your father out to the car. Well, my brother wouldn't go to do it. Nobody else wanted to do it. So I went in, and my dad, that man that was, I could have picked him up in the sheets with one hand. Don't you look at me, friend, and think that you're going to have enough strength to make it through this life. These four alls are for you. All power in Christ. Therefore, all nations for Christ. Therefore, in our church and who we can influence, all teachings from Christ. But here, always present with Christ. There comes a day, I can remember as a little kid walking in the snow behind my dad and thinking he had the biggest feet and the longest stride. My dad only wore a 9 1/2 shoe. I wore a size 12 shoe in 8th grade. All of a sudden, I'm bigger than dad. And dad can't do everything. Are you listening? Right now, I'm fairly healthy. Nicole, I'm not up to your level of lifting weights. I will agree. You're too scary for me, sister. But let me say something. I can still go home. I do it. You don't have to lie. I pick up my 250-pound dumbbells. I do the presses. I do all kinds of weird things. But there come a day when I can't do any of that. Are you ready for that? Who are you with? Who's always with you? Lo, what did Jesus say? I am with you always, even until the end of the age or world. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. Wherefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, well, we're absent from the Lord in line of physically. For we walk now by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Please look at me and I'm done. Look here. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, then you know who you are. My friend, today is not the time to say, I'm tough. I'm the man. Really? There come a day when you're not the man. It might come sooner than you like. You say, what do you have? Well, I have a Savior that is all-powerful. And at the end of the day, I have a Savior that is always with me. And yes, one day, I'll cross that divide. And when I do, He was with me now. He'll be with me crossing the divide. And He'll be there to greet me on the other side. That's the hope we have. All of these promises for all of us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning.